Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you like to follow along, I'm going to be in the second epistle of John, 2 John, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9 of 2 John. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Okay. Believe it or not, I have absolutely nothing new for you today. I'm going to endeavor to preach Christ Jesus by preaching, and this is my title, Paul, The Doctrine of Christ. That's the title. Now, there's no way I can preach all of the doctrine of Christ in one morning. So I'm not. But I'm going to give you something that you should already know. I won't use big theological terms because I don't want to. I could look them up and use them. Sometimes I can even pronounce them correctly. But if you're like me, and I suspect you are, most of them you'll forget before you get out the door because it's not a word we use. And besides that, we've got this word right here. And if this word's not good enough for you, I can't help you. I can't help you. Because this word is all I have. I try only to use the scriptures because Christ Jesus himself, through his prophets, through his apostles, through his disciples, have given us this written word in English. I don't have to try and translate anything from Hebrew, although I like to look at the words sometimes. I don't have to try and translate anything from the Greek, although I like to look at the words sometimes. We've got them in English, and that's what we use, you know? And as many people have been trying to have us get rid of some of this stuff that's in this book, I think it's important that we actually preach from this book. But anyhow, verse 9 says, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, look, folks, that's a heck of a statement. That's a heck of a statement. So, where it says transgresses and abides not, the word transgresses means to go contrary, to go against, to be against. But not only to be against, to go against his doctrine. And then it says abides not. What's that mean? You don't live in the doctrine of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you don't live in the doctrine of Christ, you are going to transgress. It's going to happen. Because this is the thing. Christ did say it one time. If you're not with me, you're against me. And Antichrist, John wrote about it. He said, Antichrist is here. Those that are against Christ were there 2,000 years ago. Not 50 years after Christ died. There were already those that were called Antichrist. They were against Christ. Contrary. Whosoever transgresses and abides not the doctrine of Christ. First thing, first point, most important point, if I can say that, the doctrine of Christ is singular. It's singular. It's only one. The doctrine of Christ. I'm guilty sometimes when I use the word doctrines in plural. But that's because of my limitations. It's not because it's, you know, we talk about, and I mentioned it last week, some people call TULIP, the total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of saints. They call those the doctrines of grace. And I'm going to try not to do that anymore. Because there's only one doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. And TULIP, I believe is true. I believe it's all true. But I believe that is a part of the doctrine of Christ. Because if you use your computer, if you want to use it in concordance, the plural word doctrines is used 5 times in the Bible. All 5 are in the New Testament, and all 5 have really a bad connotation. The word doctrines. 2 times it's used in the Gospels, once in, I think it's Mark and once in Matthew. It says, teaching for, where is it? Let me look it down. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. 1 time it is used as the doctrines of men, which is another bad thing. 1 time it's actually used telling you, warning you about doctrines of devils. And the last time, the 5th time it's used, it says diverse and strange doctrines. And you're told to avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them all, actually. So the doctrine of Christ is singular. That's why it's written that way, because that's exactly what it means. So what is the doctrine of Christ? Well, I don't know, but actually maybe a better question is, who is the doctrine of Christ? Here's another question. Because it's talking about those who have abide not and who transgress the doctrine of Christ. Here's another question for you. Who is born of God? Who is born of God? Well, 1 John, if you want to turn back, just mine's on the same page here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 says this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. You understand? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, understand this. The reverse is also true. Whosoever doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ is not born of God.
Amen.
So, that's the question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? I'm going to tell you something. This has everything to do with the doctrine of Christ. Now, to take a look at the doctrine of Christ, I wanted to use, big surprise, the words of Christ. So in John chapter 17, I want to take a look at that. These are the words of Jesus Christ, his high priestly prayer, we call it, his prayer to the Father. This is not what most people call the Lord's Prayer, but I say it's a lot closer to the Lord's Prayer than the Our Father's that most people repeat. These are the words of Jesus Christ as he prayed. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. This is verse 1 of chapter 17 of John. And said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. First thing I asked you about verse 1, the doctrine of Christ. Do you know? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is worthy of being glorified? Understand? The Old Testament's full of it. My glory I will not share. My glory will I not give to another. The only one who's allowed, authorized, and deserves glory is God. That's what we're asking. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? Manifest in the flesh, yes, but God nonetheless. God still. Verse 2 says this, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Here's the question here. Do you believe that Christ has power over all flesh? All flesh. And he has that power to give eternal life to as many as the Father gave him. That's the Christ. That's the anointed one. That's the Messiah. That's the Redeemer. Do you believe that it is right for Jesus Christ to give eternal life to as many as the Father gave him? Some people have a sticking point with that. Well, they want to qualify it. Well, God gave him everybody that would believe in him. No, you won't. No, you won't. No one believes in Christ without the power of Christ. The scriptures are clear. We'll get into that a little bit here in just a minute, but this is the thing. There's no qualifier here. The only qualifier is that God gave them to his Son. And I can tell you when he did it. Before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ by God in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 3 of 17 says this, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you understand? Do you know, do you believe, that eternal life is given to his people on this earth right now? If you believe Jesus Christ truthfully, you have eternal life right now. And I'm going to say this, whether you feel like it or not. Most times I don't feel like it. But Christ said this. This is life eternal. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You understand? To know Jesus Christ is to know the Father. There's no way to know the Father without the Son. Amen. And the only way we know is by grace, through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And it's not your faith, it's His faith first.
Yes.
Now, I read something the other day where a fellow was, he was taken off on Henry Mahan. I must have downloaded this thing several years ago because I don't even remember it. But I was looking at it. And this fellow was looking at that verse a bit. Ephesians 2 and 8. Saying, Henry Mahan and all you Calvinists, you know. You interpret that wrong. Because when you look and it says, by grace through faith. What you don't, what we don't see, okay. What I don't see, and I'll admit this because I don't see it. Is that grace is dependent upon faith. And I said, what are you talking about? It's by grace through faith. Faith is dependent upon grace, if anything. And both are dependent upon Jesus Christ. And both are the, Jesus Christ is the source of all grace. And He's the author and the finisher of all faith. True faith. But to try and come to that verse and say that, oh no, you have to believe, otherwise God's plans are going awry. Which is what they want. They want salvation to be of the Lord and you. That's what they want. That's all it is. And it's a lie. My goodness. Faith is dependent upon grace. Grace is not dependent upon faith. It's by grace, through faith. And it's all by Christ. It's not of you, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what was this guy doing? He was boasting of his faith. Anyway. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Oh my. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had, what? With thee before the world was. Before the world was. Do you know that Jesus Christ was glorified before the world was?
Amen.
What does John 1 say? What? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is God. Mm-hmm. Manifest in the flesh. Oh my. Oh, I like that. Verse 9 of John chapter 17. Here's one that really sticks in people's craw. I pray for them. Well, that's good. That's good. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Do you believe Jesus Christ didn't pray for the world? That's the doctrine of Christ. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for those whom the Father gave Him out of the world. You understand why? Because you understand, here's the thing about the prayers of Jesus Christ. People think He prays like we do. No. Jesus Christ prayed perfectly.
Amen.
Perfectly. Anything He prays for is going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen. We ask amiss.
Yeah.
That's what the scriptures tell us. You receive not because you ask amiss. You're wrong. Jesus Christ was never wrong. Every prayer he set up, God said yes. Oh my. People don't understand this. If Jesus Christ prayed for the world like he prayed for his people, the world would be saved and everybody in it. Because his prayers have a power that we know absolutely nothing about. We don't know. We do not know. Do you believe that this Jesus is the Christ? Back up just a little bit. John 10:26. I got my bookmark in the way there. Well, 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
Do you believe that some don't believe because they're not a sheep? That's what the scriptures say. I know I've had people read this to me, but you're not of my sheep because you don't believe. That's the way everybody wants to interpret it, but that's not what it says. It says you believe not because you're not my sheep. Now, I can't preach that. I can't say that to somebody because I don't know. Jesus Christ knows. Jesus Christ knew. You understand, if I'd have been there at the stoning of Stephen, and I'd have seen Saul of Tarsus standing there holding everybody's cloak while they went and stoned Stephen to death for preaching the truth of God, I'd have thought Saul was a goner. And I'd have been wrong. At that time, he didn't believe. But it wasn't because he wasn't a sheep. Is because God had not revealed himself to him, which he did on the Damascus Road later. I can't say this, but I can tell you this. Jesus Christ can say it, and it was absolutely true. Those men that he was talking to at that time, they were not his sheep. And that's all he can say. That's all I can say. He said it. John 6 and verse 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.
Amen.
John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you believe, do you know, that no man can come to the Father except to be given unto him of, no man can come unto me except to be given unto him of my Father.
Amen.
You understand that? We tell people to come to Christ, and we mean that. We mean for you, we want you to come to Christ, but understand this, we understand this, that you can't come unless it's given unto you of the Father.
Amen.
You won't come unless it's given unto you by the Father. And I believe this, the hour is coming and now is. When there's going to be those who hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear shall live. And they're going to be the ones what that come unto me. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ. And you know, after he preached, John 6, verse 65, then comes John 6, verse 66. From that, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, this is after the other ones left, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered. Oh, I tell you. And here's the answer. First word, Lord. First word is Lord. First word is Lord. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ said, yes, except Judas Iscariot. What Peter said was exactly true. What Peter said was exactly true. But Judas was still there. Now, isn't that amazing? He preached that and multitudes went away, but Judas hung out for a little longer. Now it says that he was a thief and he held the bag, so there was a profit for Judas to stay. But you understand, Jesus Christ knew him at that time. There was no surprising the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what was in all men's hearts. But what Peter says is glorious. Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no one else. That's the doctrine of Christ. There is no one else. There is no one else. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what happens if you don't know this Christ? What happens if you don't know the doctrine of Christ? What happens if you don't live in the doctrine of Christ? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God.